ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिः शृणुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टु वागंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेमदेवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्योऽरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम् वेल्कम् आफ्टर् अ लाङ्ग् समर् वि वर् आफ् 3 मन्थ्स् सो वि आल् नीड् टु गेट् बेक् इन् टु दि स्टडि मोड् इन्क्लूडिङ्ग् मै सेल्फ़् इट् टुक् मी आल्सो अ वैल् बट् एनिवे वि आर् इन् दि मुण्डक उपनिषत् एण्ड् इट् स्टार्टेड् वित् द टीचिङ्ग् आफ़् दि मुण्डक उपनिषत् ऐ समरैस् वाट् वी हेव् डन् बिफोर् द समर् हालिडेस् ब्रह्माजी इस् दि ओरिजिनल् टीचर् आफ् दिस् नालेज् of this Upanishad, which was then taught to his son Atharva and so on, ultimately to a Rishi Angiras, a Guru Shishya. And he was approached by Shaunaka, who is a householder, but a very successful householder, not a failure in life. He has accomplished a lot, but now he wants the highest knowledge, knowing which there is nothing more to be known. That is the knowledge he is seeking. So he approaches Angiras and suitably prostrates to him. And the teacher starts with the highest teaching. He says, there are two kinds of vidyas, apara and para. Apara is the lower, para is the higher. And apara, it's interesting. He starts with the four Vedas. He says the four Vedas are apara, even though this Upanishad is a part of the Vedas. Not only Vedas, but all the grammar, Vyakarana, all the phonetics. So, and because and all what is written, all that is heard, all that is spoken is all lower Vidya. So that means anything in this world that we can see, hear, smell, taste, touch, think is all lower. Even the sun, moon, stars, the earth, everything. So even including the Vedas, the Bible, Quran, everything is Apara Vidya, Bhagavad Gita. So what is para? So he says para is that which takes us to the highest. And then he, in one shloka, one of the most beautiful descriptions of this highest truth, he says that which is invisible, cannot be grasped by the intellect, cannot be grasped by the senses, all pervading, subtler than the subtlest, and bhuta yoni, it is the origin of all beings, animals, birds, plants, fish, humans, not only that, but all the stars, planets, everything came from that one consciousness. And then he talks about three kinds of creation. One is just as a spider, you know, he creates a web out of himself. And then that web is nothing but the spider himself. So same way from Brahman, from the, not the Brahman, the consciousness, but from Brahmaji, the creator came. So that means he is the Upadana Karana and a Nimit Karana. He is the material cause and the efficient cause. But The spider has a motive, you know, he wants to catch insects. So then he gives the second example, like the earth, which gives us trees, all the trees, plants. That has no motive. Earth doesn't gain anything. But the third is the earth is still inanimate. Earth is not alive. So the third example he gives, just as from a man, the hair grow, man or a woman, how the hair grow. So same way, this Brahman, this consciousness is sentient, has no motive, and the whole world is created out of that. And then he talked briefly about karmas, you know, who is the performer of the karmas, what are the different kinds of karmas, and the different kinds of fires that are lit. All that was described. It is a lot of names of the fires. We don't need to go over that. And then he starts the topic of rituals, how to do rituals, and what is the purpose of rituals. And so the three mantras today will talk about the rituals, and we'll see what the rishis thinks about the performance of rituals. So we'll do chapter one, section two, mantra number seven. Everybody can please open that. Chapter one, section two, mantra number seven. Does anybody have it open? They can chant with me. Ambika, you're ready? Okay. So chapter one, section two, mantra number seven. Plavahete adrida yajna rupa.
प्लवाहेते अदृधायज्ञरूपा
अष्टादशोक्तमवरं येषु कर्म.
अष्टादशोक्तमवरं येषु कर्मा
एतत् श्रेयो येऽभिनन्दन्ति मूढाः.
एतच्छ्रेयो येऽभिनन्दन्ति मूढाः
जरा मृत्युं ते पुनरेवापियन्ति.
जरा मृत्युं ते पुनरेवापियन्ति
And please mute, we'll all chant together. Plavahete adrida yajnarupa ashtadashoktamavaram yeshu karma. Etat shreyo ye vinandanti mudha jara mrityum te punarevapiyanti. So because we are not pausing, so we are not doing mudha. But if you pause, then you have to chant mudaha. So when there is a pause, then the visarga is chanted. If there is no pause, we don't chant the visarga. That is one of the
Sanskrit.
methods of Vedic chanting. So plavahete. So ete means these rituals, they are boats. But adridha means they are not firm, they are not dependable. These yajna rupa, so these rituals which are yajnas, they are boats, but which are undependable boats, unsteady. And how are they performed? Ashtadasho. So ashtadasho means 18. So who are the 18? There are 16 pandits or purohitas and two, the yajman and his yajman patni. So the husband and wife who are performing the yajna, and they have 16 priests. All the 16 are named in the scripture, but we don't need to name all of them. But there are 16 priests and the one who is performing. And it is uktam, it is said to be avaram. Oh, Mohini aunty is texting. Dekho, what does she want?
I'll call. Just go.
Yes, she's just go call. Her internet is not. Anyway, so it is said to be avaram. It is said to be lower, these karmas, rituals. But one who thinks that etat shreyo, this is the supreme, and one who thinks that they are mudaha, they are deluded, they are ignorant, they are confused. And what happens to them? Jara mrityum te punare vapiyanti. They go, jara means old age, mrityu means death. They punar, again and again, they come to this. They are subjected to it. So as we said, plava means a boat. And plava is used many times, even in Ramayana, even in Bhagavad Gita, Gyana Plavena, Sadr, you know, Rajinam Santarishyasi. With knowledge, you can go beyond sin. But here, that is the boat of knowledge. Here, the boat is this vehicle of this ritual that is taking them. But it is said to be lower, as we said. If it is not taking you to the supreme knowledge, then it is lower. And when rituals are done with a particular goal in mind or a particular purpose in mind, then such a ritual is considered lower. And how can we make it higher? We'll talk about, and why is it lower? So people who think that this is Shreya, this is the highest, are foolish. They are mudaha. And why? Because the rituals are perishable. They are not permanent. Like the ritual being performed, does it last forever? No, maybe an hour, 2 hours. The Panditji performing is temporary. The Yajman is temporary. The offerings are temporary. The fire is temporary. The karma phala you get off the ritual is also temporary. And what are the karma phalas? So people do rituals for various reasons. You know, they do to maybe get something in this on this earth, you know, some success in their starting a new business. So they will do ritual, or they will do a ritual to go to heaven. So karma phala is also temporary. And desha kala, it is done at a particular place, at a particular time. Everything is temporary. So, and even the result is temporary. So when rituals are performed with a particular desire, they are considered lower rituals. And we have the example of Nachiketa in Kathopanishad, where his father was doing rituals where he was supposed to give away everything he had to get, but he didn't do it properly. He kept the good cows and gave away the sick and old cows. So then right away, your ritual is not going to get even the lower fruit. Forget about the highest. And any karma, any action that is done with the doership, that I am doing the ritual, I am such a holy person, I am so great. When that is done, then what happens? It creates aham. It creates the ego, that I am the doer. It creates pride. Look, such a big yagna I created, so many priests, so many hundred people attended. And sometimes even the yagna may get, you know, worldly or heaven, you know, those kind of goals, but it creates pride. And then also it creates jealousy, like now next week somebody did a better yagna or more people came, then suddenly now you feel, oh, my yagna was inferior. So when it is done, anything in this world that is done with selfish motive, I, me, or my, it creates all those things, ego, pride, jealousy. In Upadesh Sar, I think they did it in the Thursday study group, but in Upadesh Sar, it starts with a story where there were these ritualists who were doing rituals, but they were doing rituals for power, for different kind of siddhis, to get different powers. And so they spent years, they were very sincere, doing the rituals very well, but they were wasting in a way their time. So Bhagavan Shiva feels compassionate that these people are doing rituals and they are spending all their time, effort, and money, but they are not getting the proper result. So he appears there as a young, beautiful young mendicant, like a monk, very handsome. And Bhagwan Vishnu comes with him as Mohini. So they both come. So he say, okay, let's go and, you know, teach, give these people some right knowledge. And so the wives of these ritual rishis get tempted with this young monk who was Lord Shiva, and they start following him, leaving the yagna. And then when Mohini appears, even the rishis start following her. And then Mohini goes a while and she disappears. And suddenly they realize, oh, where are we? We were doing ritual. And where are our wives? You know, they get very angry that where did our wives go? And then they see this young mendicant who was Lord Shiva, and they say, oh, he's the troublemaker. And they had a lot of powers they had got from their rituals. So they use all their powers, their weapons. Of course, nothing touches Bhagwan Shiva, obviously. So then they prostrate to him and surrender and realize their mistake. And then Bhagwan Shiva, that is where the knowledge is given by Bhagwan Shiva to these ritualists. What is the purpose of doing these rituals? And that becomes the teaching of Upadesh Sar, which Bhagwan Raman Maharishi puts in Upadesh Sar, where all the karma yoga, bhakti, and then the, you know,
Pass.
all these asanas and all these pranayam, and then fourth is the highest. So everything is covered in that very brief text. So they say that even heaven, if you get, it is not eternal. You know, it does not give you any eternal. And they think that they have accomplished a lot. Oh, we have done so much. But they say only way to have this ritual become purifying is first it has to be karma yoga. That means I am not the doer. Bhagwan is the doer. I do not do it for me, myself, and I do it for the benefit of society. And whatever result comes, I take it as Bhagwan's prasad. So one is karma yoga and second is upasana. I should always dedicate the rituals to Bhagwan, and whoever my Ishta Devta is, I can surrender to that. Unless there is karma yoga and unless there is upasana, the ritual will not serve the purpose. So what is the purpose of ritual? It is not to get name or fame, not to show how great I am, not to go to heaven. It is to purify my mind, and mind purification can only happen with karma yoga and upasana. So any activity we do in the world, it should be done with that attitude that Bhagwan is working through me, I am not the doer, and I offer the prayers to Bhagwan and accept the result from Bhagwan. Then only this will purify your mind. Otherwise, a karma can lead to more problems, as we saw, ego and pride and so on. And then in the end, he says, Jara Mrityu Te Punare Vapi Yanti. They go again and again to old age and death, because there are six, you know, stages: Asti Jayate, Vardate, Parinamyate, Apakshiyate, and Vinashyati. There are six stages of our life. One is I am, that means in the mother's womb, and then I take birth, then I grow, I modify, I decay, and I die. You know, that is the six happens to all of us. Everybody will go through that. And then Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Marnam. If you have not realized the truth, then you go through again and again birth, again Punarapi Janani Jathare Shayanam. You die, then again you enter a mother's womb, and there you stay 9 months, and birth is a sorrow, and all this that. So that's what, in fact, even this body that we get is a result of our karma phala. If we have a healthy body, if we have this desire to know, then there is. That is because we have done good karmas. That's why we have the human body. So this is an opportunity not to be wasted. And if we just do it for name and fame, then name and fame also goes away. You know, you think about it, somebody is very famous, and then suddenly some reporter finds some truth about him and puts it in the newspaper or on the TV. Immediately the person gets, you know, if it was an ordinary person, nobody would care, but if it's the famous leader and you put some gossip about him, then he's gone down. So all of these lead to bondage. So that's why karmas are condemned. Answer man, you can do number eight. You can unmute. The next one, next page. अविद्यायाम् अन्तरे वर्तमानाः,
अविद्यायामन्तरे वर्तमानाः,
स्वयं धीराः पण्डितं मन्यमानाः,
स्वयं धीरा पण्डितं मन्यमानाः,
जङ्घन्यमानाः परियन्ति मूढाः,
जङ्घन्यमाना पर्यन्ति मूढाः,
अन्धे नैव नीयमाना यथान्धाः.
अन्धे नैव नीयमाना यथान्धाः,
वी केन् म्यूट्. अविद्यायाम् अन्तरे वर्तमाना, स्वयं धीरा पण्डितं मन्यमानाः, जङ्घन्यमानाः परियन्ति मूढा, अन्धे नैव नीयमाना यथान्धाः. सो दिस् मन्त्रा इस् वेरि फेमस्. इट् नाट् ओन्ली कम्स् इन् मुण्डक उपनिषद्, वी हेव् स्टडीड् इन् कठोपनिषद् फ्यू फ्यू मन्त्स् बेक्, एण्ड् आल्सो इट् कम्स् इन् बृहदारण्यक उपनिषद्. सो दिस् मन्त्रा इस् वेरि फेमस् वित् स्लैट् वेरियेशन्. So avidyayam, so in avidya, in ignorance, antare means in the middle of ignorance, vartamanaha means they are living, they are in the middle of ignorance, and swayam dhira panditam manyamahana, and they think themselves to be dhira, wise people and pandit. So they give themselves a certificate, you know, I am such a great pandit, I am so wise, I am so good. And manyamana, they think themselves to be great. So that's what happens. And janghanyamana means they are actually very oppressed and miserable because they don't get, you know, the highest result, and all these temporary results lead to sorrow. And pariyanti, and they go round and round in this cycle of doing rituals and then again finishing his life, getting the results, then again birth and death. So round and round their life go. And mudaha, they are called muda. Mudaha means is a very strong word the Upanishad used for ritualists. They are using this strong language, but actually the Vedas themselves talk about rituals in the first and the second portion. But right now, when they come to Upanishad, they are calling the same people mudaha, and why, we will discuss that. And andhe naiva niyamana yathandaha. This is a very famous, you know, saying which says the blind leading the blind. Andhena, by the blind alone, niyamana, they are led. Yathandaha, just as a blind person being led by the blind. So same way these ritualists lead each other on this path. And what happens? First of all, these people become fanatics. You know, that I am, my path is alone, my ritual is better, I am, my God is highest. Then to perform the rituals, you have to put in a lot of effort. It has to be done very properly, very correctly. And for that, you have to study, you have to struggle, you have to call pundits. So a lot of effort is required. And why does the Upanishad criticize, even though the same Veda earlier on had said that you should do rituals and all? Because Gurudev in his commentary says, like a high school student studying math, he will be told, do multiplication tables, do simple algebra. But then when he goes to do masters, he's doing quantum mechanics and all that. Then he doesn't need to again and again, you know, do multiplication tables. So similarly, here also, because this knowledge is for the beginning people, for us people who are on this beginning path, we can do rituals, we can do karmas, but as we said, do it with the attitude of karma yoga and upasana. And then as you go higher on the knowledge, then leave the rituals, you know, or just do them again for purification of mind. We are not saying ritual should not be done, but do it without ego. And the idea, more and more our mind should be on the highest knowledge. So when we meditate, this Upanishad will give us the highest knowledge. So, but right now they are just criticizing karmas. And avidyayam antare vartamana, they are surrounded by avidya, just as a person is, say, in the ocean on a boat. And he surrounded small left, right, front, back, everywhere is ocean, ocean, and ocean. So same way these people are surrounded on all sides by ignorance. And this only leads to sorrow. Sorrow and sorrow alone is there because the end result of any karma is temporary, and when that result ends, then it leads to sorrow. Talking about sorrow, there was this fisherman who woke up at 5 in the morning and were taking a bus to go for fishing, and they left their house at 5 and they all got on the bus and left. And it so happened there were about 20 of them. The bus went off the edge. It was slippery and it was dark, and all the 20 of them died, and their wives were all crying. And then one of the ladies was crying the loudest, on and on, couldn't stop crying. And the TV people came and they were sorry. They said, "Oh, madam, we are so sorry. Did your husband die?" She says, "No, my husband didn't die." So they said, "Then why are you crying?" He says, "Oh, he missed the bus. He was supposed to go." So that is called living in sorrow. So these people, they live in sorrow, and Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji calls them Moodhamate. Even the Bhajgovindam, he says Moodhamate, do not just grammar rules and worldly things will only take you so far. Bhajgovindam, chant the name of the Lord. And these people have no guru. See, that's another thing. If you went to a proper guru, he would guide you. Okay, rituals will take you so far, then go beyond it. But they just hold on to it, and they hold on to worldly pleasures, just small, small pleasures of the world, thinking this alone is enough. They get some joy from something or somewhere, and they forget the highest joy of knowing the truth and reaching God. They forget that. There's the beautiful example they give in the Upanishads. They said there was this man who was running, and he was being chased by a tiger. Tiger came and chased him. So he was going to get eaten, so he jumped into a well. Now the well was dry. He jumped into it and held on to a creeper. And now the tiger is on him, growling, and he's holding on to the creeper. And below in the well, there are poisonous snakes. So there are poisonous snakes, and so he's holding on. Upar the tiger and niche poison. Whatever am I to go? Then suddenly, because he has done move the trees, there is a beehive which he dislodges. So hundreds of bees come and start biting him all over. So he's being bit by bees. Imagine his condition. And then a rat comes and he starts biting the creeper. So he doesn't know when the creeper will be cut and when he will fall in the poisonous snakes. Now he's in all this situation. Suddenly from the honey beehive, few drops of honey start falling, and they fall in his mouth. And he starts licking the honey. He says, "Oh, how beautiful this honey is." And that is our condition. We are surrounded by death coming up. The rat anytime will cut our life. We have problems up, problems down, and we are being bitten by bees, all the sorrows and the problems of the world. But a small little pleasure we think is enough. So that is the problem. That is our condition. And such a beautiful example when you visualize, we are all in that same kind of situation. When we look for small, small worldly pleasures and forget about the highest purpose of life, why we came to earth, why did we get human body, why did we get this, this intelligence and all. So when we read these mantras, it should create vairagya in all of us. That is the whole purpose. The rishi is not trying to scare us or make us feel miserable. But the rishi wants us to understand that what is your purpose in life? Vairagya is very important. In fact, Guruji, when somebody asked him, Swami Tejomayanandji, why we are not progressing on the spiritual path, he says, "Tumhare mein vairagya ki kami hai." You do not have enough vairagya. Where we vairagya means again, we depend too much on worldly people or situations or things for happiness. Slowly develop an attitude of detachment that if I have this thing, I'm fine. If I don't have this thing, I am still fine. If this person is with me, I'm fine. If the person is not me, I'm not fine. Why? Because I am that supreme Brahman. I am that consciousness, and I have. So I am not an ordinary jiva. I'm not an ordinary, animal or a bird or a plant. I am the human, which is the highest of creation. And Bhagwan has given me this ability. So let us develop vairagya, because otherwise, if we just keep following the people who are preaching rituals and worldly things, are why are you going to Upanishad class? Let us go to a movie or sit and read something else or study. Then it is like the blind leading the blind. That's what Andhe Naiva Niyamana. A person who is himself blind is telling you what to do. Instead of going to a guru, we go to some worldly guy. And yesterday also we talked about in Mukundamala, he says, when we have the Supreme Vishnu Bhagwan available, what do? We go to some local politician, some city council or some panchayat wala or some, and we beg for favors from them. He said, how miserable we are. So that is our condition. We beg for pleasure from miserable people. How do we expect to be happy? And that leads to anartha. Anartha means bad things happen to us. It is miserable things happen to us. Shaku, you have the next one, number 9. अविद्यायां बहुधा वर्तमानाः
अविद्या बहुधा वर्तमाना
वयं कृतार्था इत्यभिमन्यन्ति बालाः।
वयं कुत्याता इत्यमिमन्त्यमाला
यत्कर्मिणो न प्रवेदयन्ति रागात्
यत्कर्मिणो न प्रवेन्ति रागाता
तेना तु राक्षी न लोकाश्च वन्ते।
तेना तु राशित लोका शयन्ते
You can mute, we'll all chant together.
अविद्यायां
अविद्यायां बहुधा वर्तमाना वयं कृतार्था इत्यभिमन्यन्ति बालाः। यत्कर्मिणो न प्रवेदयन्ति रागात् तेना तु राक्षी न लोकाश्च वन्ते। अगेन द ऋषि इज हैमरिंग अस फर्दर एंड फर्दर सो दैट टू डेवलप दिस वैराग्य, बिकॉज द फर्स्ट फ्यू मंत्रास ही इज टेलिंग अस व्हाट नॉट टू डू एंड देन ही विल टेक अस टू व्हाट टू डू. सो देयर इज वन मोर मंत्र आफ्टर दिस नेक्स्ट वीक अबाउट रिचुअल्स एंड देन ही विल टेक अस अपवर्ड. So avidyaya means in ignorance. They live in ignorance. Bahudha, in many ways, we have so much ignorance, not only, but lifetimes of ignorance we have, and we keep living in that vartaman. We don't want to get out of it. We'll say, oh, my life is fine. I know I have problems, but abhi aage kisne dekha? Who has seen heaven? Who has seen? These sannyasis just keep on talking. Life is meant to be enjoyed. So they live in ignorance. And vayam kritartha, and we say, oh, we have accomplished so much. I have done so much. I have done everything. Iti abhimanyanti balaha. They think of themselves as, I have done so much. I am so great. I have accomplished so much. But they are children. Balaha. So here, Rishi is not calling us Mudaha, he's calling us Balaha. So he's a little kinder to us. Here he says they are children. And Yat Karminaha, and these people who are men of actions, they do not go for knowledge. Even though this knowledge is available, the Upanishads are available, Bhagavad Gita is available, there are so many teachers, masters whom you can approach on the internet. We have, Chinmaya channel, where there are so many wonderful discourses by all the different worldwide Chinmaya Mission Swamis, but people don't go that. They just go on the internet or gossip or news or something. Why? Raga. Raga means because of attachment. And Tenatura, having been motivated by this, Kshina Lokas Chyavante. What happens? That once their good karmas are exhausted, they perish. They fall back. So like if you have done good karmas, you know, in Bhagavad Gita also says, Kshine Punye Martya Lokam Vishanti. They go to heaven, they have punyas, they exhaust. They come back to earth, or on this earth also, if you have done some good karmas, once they get exhausted, then you go back to suffering. So that's what it is said, that these people, in many ways, they are ignorant, but kritartha, but they think, I am great, I am fulfilled, because they do not have a right evaluation of their actions. See, they have not studied it properly, so they just stay in the action. And they are called children, bala. Why? Because like children, you know, like a child gets a new toy. And so they call everybody, oh, look at my new toy. Look how fast my car goes. I have the remote control red car I can drive. So like that, when we get something, we become like children, so proud. You know, I have this factory, I have this job, I have this house, and we start showing to everybody. Even when sannyasis go to people's homes, they start showing them, oh, look, Swamiji, I bought this new house, see my bedroom, see my car, see my factory. Some of them even take them to their bathroom, see my new bathroom. So so they are worse than children, you know, to behave like that. And why do they do that? Because they have desires, selfish desires, but they think themselves to be pandit. They think themselves to be wise. And what is the process of fall? So Upanishad says very beautifully, avidya kama karma. Because of ignorance, not knowing that I am that supreme reality, that is my true nature, I think myself to be a limited being. And so because of that, to make myself complete, I get desires. Right now I am incomplete. So with this desire, if I get, I'll be complete. Not knowing that my essential nature is complete. I am Brahman. I am that reality. But we forget that. And so with avidya comes kama, desires. And with kama comes karma. So we keep doing more and more actions and keep on going through this cycle. And we do not discriminate. Even though we have an intellect, we do not have the right understanding to discriminate between what I should do, what I should not do, what is right, what is wrong, what is permanent, what is temporary. We hold on to the temporary and give up the permanent. They say, na, kori ko to khub sambhala, Har ratan kyu chhod diya. He says you held on to kodis, you know, little shells, but you gave up that beautiful necklace, you know, lal ratan. So same way, we having that highest goal in our eyes, but we hold on to little things. So that is called bala, that is called foolish people. And we fall down again and again. And there is this, and these karmas are very, very powerful. When wrong karmas are done, they come back to bite you. And Bhishma's story, all of you know about Bhishma, but how, why did he get into this problem? So it is said that he had the Ichchamrityu, and no one in the world could defeat him. Even Parshuram, who was incarnation of Bhagwan Vishnu, fought him and couldn't defeat him. That's how strong Bhishma was. And he had great courage, because you know he had taken that vow of celibacy, so he always followed the right path, had the greatest knowledge. He taught Vishnu Sahasranama to Yudhishthira. But one karma led to his downfall, and what happened was his half brother, who was the prince of Hastinapur, needed to get married. So there was these three princesses, Amba, Ambika, and Ambalika. They were three princesses of one king. And they had a swayamvara where they were going to choose their husband. So Bhishma goes and tells them that, you know, no, you can't have these three, you can't have your husbands. I'll take you to my half brother. And so the other princes who had come there, they all fought with Bhishma, but he easily defeated them all, including there was one called Salva. Now, Amba, the one of the sisters, had was secretly in love with Salva, and she had promised that you come to the Swayamvara, I will choose you. So she had already chosen him as her husband. But Bhishma didn't know that, so he took all three of them to his half-brother. Now, the other two, Ambika and Ambalika, they were fine because Hastinapur was the greatest kingdom, and to marry the king is a great honor, so they were fine. But Amba said, I do not want to marry this king of Hastinapur, Vichitravir. I am already pledged to Salva, whom I love. So Bhishma says, okay, then. And even Vichitravir says, okay, if she is in love with somebody else, I do not want to. So he takes her back to Salva. Now Salva says, look, I was already defeated in the battle. Bhishma has won you and has taken you and to another king, prince. So I cannot take you back. So Salva tells Amba, I cannot marry you. Amba goes to Vichitravir. Vichitravir says, I can't marry you because you are in love with another one. Then she tells Bhishma, okay, then you marry me because you are the cause of all my trouble. But Bhishma said, I have taken a vow of celibacy. I'm never going to get married. So I cannot marry you. So she's wandering here and there. And she's so angry that nobody is accepting me. She decides to take revenge on Bhishma. And she does tremendous tapas. And finally, Bhagwan Shiva appears. And she says, I want to take revenge on Bhishma because this is what he did. So Bhagwan Shiva says, okay, you will be born as half man, half woman. And she was born as Shikhandi, who then became, when Arjuna was supposed to fight Bhishma, she became Arjuna's charioteer. Even though it was half woman, half man, he was a very powerful warrior. And Bhishma knew that this is a woman. So he had pledged never to fight against a woman. So he turns his back. He doesn't fight Arjuna. And so Arjuna and Shikhandi keep shooting their arrows. And finally, Bhishma falls. So the point is that karmas will come back. Even though Bhishma had done everything good in his life, had done so much to help so many people, but one bad karma ultimately led to his downfall, where he ended up on the wrong side. He ended up with the Kauravas. And ultimately, that Amba, who became Shikhandi, was the cause of his downfall. So that's why they say that the karmas are very important. One has to be very conscious at all times that, may I help people at all times? May I be kind to others? May I be compassionate? May I... And also dedicate our life to God. So doing some regular puja, some regular japa, you know, chanting the name of the Lord. So karma yoga and upasana will take us to higher, where then the highest knowledge will stay. See, why does the knowledge not stay? We hear it, we listen to it, but then it goes out, you know, one in ear, one out, another ear. Or we go, but we are not able to abide in this knowledge. You know, this knowledge doesn't stay with us. And next time we get some temptation, we get tempted, and we go away from this highest truth. So that's how it says they fall down. Again and again they fall down, and again go to another birth. And in Vivek Chudamani, Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji, he says, Durlabham etat trayam. These three things are very rare, very difficult to get. And Durlabham, they're very difficult to get. These three things, right in the beginning of Vivek Chudamani, which has 500 and over 500 verses, he gives this, that what is the importance of this knowledge? So he says, three things are very rare in this universe. Manushyatvam, Mumukshutvam, Mahapurusha Samshrayam. Manushyatvam means getting the human body. Actually, even though we think we are, what, 7 billion humans, Actually, we are only 0.5% of creation. Only 0.5% of living beings are humans. 99.5% are animals, birds, plants, fish, humans, so many varieties of insects, plants, birds, animals, fish, so many. So humans are, so think about it, how lucky we are that the 0.5% chance we got, lottery lucky in a way, it is our lottery that we are here. So Manushyatvam is very, very rare. We could have been born as a monkey or a buffalo or a mosquito, but maybe because of our karmas or because of Bhagwan's grace or whatever reason, we have got the human birth, Manushyatvam. Second is Mumukshutvam. How rare are people who have Mumukshutvam? And what is Mumukshutvam? Intense desire for liberation. It has to be intense, not half-hearted. See, there are three kinds of Mumukshutvam: Manda, Madhyama, and Tivra. Manda is, "Theek hai, I'm going along. If somehow God appears and comes, I will take it." Madhyama is, "Yeah, theek hai, I'll put a little effort, but don't expect me to do too much. I am too busy. I have so many things, my children, my wife, my husband, my job. I don't have time. Maybe, 5, 10 minutes a day I can give to God. And okay, if I don't get in this life, next life, in Hindus we have multiple lives. So next life, 5 lifetimes. What is the hurry?" So that is Madhyama. Tivra is like when your hair is on fire. Do you say that, "Well, let me look for water. Maybe not this pond, I will go to this pond." No, you rush, whether dirty pond, clean pond, you just jump in to put out the fire. That is the Mumukshutvam. It should be like, if my hair is on fire, I won't think here and there, what kind of water is it? Pure water, is it, bottled water, is it, all those. No, just get my. So same way, that kind of Mumukshutvam is what is Tivra Mumukshutvam, and that is an intense desire for liberation, that I want enlightenment, I want it now, in this life, now, not some next life or next future or sometime in the past. So all our effort should be to, as fast as possible, to reach this goal of enlightenment. And of course, we have to ask Bhagwan's help and Guru's help and keep studying and getting the right knowledge, and then put all our effort. So we have Manushyatvam, Mumukshutvam. Then the third one, Shankaracharya ji says, Mahapurusha Samshrayam. Getting the shelter of a great person. So that means a great guru. So like we are blessed, we have Puja Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda ji, who is our Param Guru, Supreme Guru, and his guru, of course, Tapovan Maharaj. And he has given us this knowledge. Swami Chinmayananda ji has so many talks, so many videos, so many Upanishads he has translated, Bhagavad Gita he has translated with commentaries. And then he's, this whole mission was, it was his vision, and the foundation and the bylaws and how the mission should be run, what kind of book should be taught, how the teaching should be done, all that he set it up. And then, of course, the school in Mumbai that he did, where all these Mahatmas studied, Swami Tejomayananda ji, Swami Ishwarananda ji, all these Acharyas who have come from time to time, Brahmachari Soham ji, we just recently saw Brahmacharini Sandhya ji. So they are all students of that school. And so Swami Chinmayananda's heritage teachings are being carried on. So it is our duty to study this knowledge, abide in it, understand it, and then share it. Ask others to read it, give, books to others, or encourage them. So then only we have fulfilled our life purpose. So you have Mumukshutvam, you have Manushyatvam, you have Mumukshutvam, and we already have the teachings of Mahapurusha and all the other Acharyas, like Swami Ishwaranand ji comes here and Swami Aparajitananda ji comes. So we have the contact. Maybe we did not meet Swami Chinmayananda. Very few people have met, but we have his teachings and we have his students. So let us take advantage of this opportunity and not waste it. And that's what Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji is telling us. And so I'll end here. As I said, the next mantra will talk about rituals, and then after that will take us towards the higher knowledge. So we'll do that next week. We have 10, 8 or 10 minutes if anybody has any questions, comments. Neeru, anything you would like to add?
I think the rituals are not criticized here, but they have told the limitation of rituals.
Yes.
You can't say that rituals are not important. They have a purpose, but they have to purify the mind.
Right.
Only then the knowledge will stay.
Right, right. Very good point. The rituals have limitations. So the limitations of rituals. But they are using strong language because in those days, people were very much into rituals. And so that's what
we hear this and we think, oh, rituals are not useful. And so then we stop that. So actually
true.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, puja and rituals have a goal. But as I said, it should be done with the idea of karma yoga, that Bhagwan is giving me the opportunity, and upasana, that I'm invoking Bhagwan. Then the ritual is worthwhile. Otherwise, it can lead to ego. So when the ritual is done, that's why we do Sudarshan Homam when we do our anniversary and all, to invoke Bhagwan's grace. So yeah, that is the purpose of ritual. Thank you. Yeah, that's good point. Thank you. Anything else? Satish Bhai, you have any comment?
Yeah, I have a question. What was the word that you used for Mahapur, the last one, the Mahapurusha?
Samshrayam.
Samshrayam.
Samshrayam. Sam.
Samshrayam.
Shraya means the refuge.
Okay.
Yeah.
So some unki ashraya mein in you.
Correct,
so,
correct.
Yeah, to the Maha.
Thank you, thank you. That I missed that one.
Yeah.
I think this is fantastic.
And we are lucky, all of us.
Yeah, and that
yeah,
that example about the tiger really hit me. That's so succinct, I think. I think that's very good.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. See how our rishis, you know.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, that example is very powerful.
Very powerful.
When you visualize this guy, and
yes,
we are not any different from them.
Not at all.
Right.
It describes our state of mind.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sharad, you have a comment?
I was just going to say, Satish Bhai, it's verse number 3 in Viveka Chudamani. Verse number 3 in Viveka Chudamani.
Oh, that's the
one. Yeah, that's important. 5.
Thank you. Jayashree, you have a comment or question? No, just unmute. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Okay, we'll end here, and then next week
we do have a Bhagavatam class this evening.
Yeah, we have Srimad Bhagavatam at
7:30
by Swami Tejomayanand ji. It's very, very nice.
Here on 8th canto.
Yeah, I have put it on the WhatsApp.
End
8th canto and chapter, what, 24 or something. It's on the WhatsApp, on the Srimad Bhagavatam WhatsApp. 8th chapter, I think 24 canto, it's there. But yeah, so please log in at 7:30 and listen to Swami Tejomayanand ji. He does, Guruji, he does very beautiful Bhagavatam. It's not only a story, but how he gets the essence of it. It's very nice.
Canto it is.
8th canto. Are you on the WhatsApp, the Srimad Bhagavatam? What?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have posted it on there. Which canto?
Okay. Okay, thank you.
I think, let me just confirm. Tuesday, Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 8, chapter 24.
Okay, thank you.
Pandha 8, chapter 24. So you can open that and be ready. So that's where we'll start from.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll end. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते. ओम शांति 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 ही. हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम थैंक यू सो मच आई